$5 Bin Podcast with Mark and Rick.
And now with a splash of Brian.
Hello, Cinemaniacs, and welcome to the $5 Bin Podcast. This is one of our mini episodes. I'm your host, Mark Dittleman, and always is with me my co-hosts, Rick Maxian.
Hello.
And Brian Higgins.
Always is with you.
Guten Tag, gentlemen.
Is that like, are we like our own like religion now?
Yeah.
Always is with you.
And also with you.
Oh, that was beautiful.
I share this branch of German chocolates. German
are you Augustus Gloop?
No. Yes, Augustus Gloop. Oh, by the way, Brian, good point. Rest in peace, Gene Wilder.
Oh, that happened.
That did. Gene Wilder was one of those actors that...
just amazing.
He was amazing. Like I think in tribute, like maybe just, Rick, what's your favorite Gene Wilder movie?
Ah, jeez. If I had to pick one?
Just as a tribute to the man.
Blazing Saddles.
Okay, that's a great one.
Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, but it's
very
not...
very subdued part,
but like
too.
Charlie and Chuck... Oh, man, I don't...
Willy Wonka.
Willy Wonka. Not Charlie and Chuck. Willy Wonka.
Not the Johnny Depp one, yeah.
No.
Blazing Saddles is a good...
Blazing
Brian,
Saddles.
What would you go with?
I think I'd have to go with Willy Wonka just for the nostalgia of it.
Willy Wonka's great.
Yeah, Willy Wonka.
Like that's the one that I watched the most, I would say.
You know what? Just to change it up, I probably would say Willy Wonka myself.
But you're going to say see no evil, hear no evil?
No, I'd probably go, just to throw it out, I'm going to say Stir Crazy.
Oh, yeah.
That Producers is also a good one.
Yeah.
Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
You know,
any of those.
Phenomenal. But,
and actually, I was watching something the other day with Mel Brooks, and he was explaining, actually, it was Jimmy Fallon. He was explaining Jimmy Fallon. The idea to Young Frankenstein and how Gene Wilder was like, I have an idea. And they said it. And Mel Brooks was like, I think we can write a movie about this. And they did. And that's.
Oh, really?
That's how, like, he's like, what about this guy who's like a great surgeon, but he can't get away from his family legacy of being Frankenstein thing.
You know what?
And it's
in
like,
note,
it's brilliant.
In that note, I heard a story about the first time you meet Willy Wonka, Gene Wilder was like, I want to do this thing where I'm an old man.
Yes.
And they were like, no, yes. I don't think that's going to work. And he's like, yeah, I just want to do it. Let's try it.
One of the best parts of the movie.
And it's like one of the best parts.
Well, yeah,
it's amazing.
Because
yeah.
his reasoning was, you know, if I come out with this limp and then do this flip, you'll never know if I'm telling the truth
exactly.
through the rest
yeah,
of the movie.
Yeah, he's always suspicious the whole time,
so it's,
right.
It sets the right tone. There's some great character work there.
It's perfect.
And because one movie I hadn't seen all the way, and I saw it came up on Showtime HBO recently, so I taped it, and I plan to watch later, is Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother, or you know what the name of that is? That's not the full name.
Never heard of it.
Sherlock Holmes' Less Known Smarter Brother. It's basically a movie where he plays Sherlock Holmes' brother, and he's smarter than him. So yeah,
the adventure of Sherlock Holmes' smarter brother.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, so, literally, that's the name of the movie.
Gene Wilder, Dom DeLuise.
God, was this Mel Brooks again?
Well, I think it is Mel. Is it Mel Brooks involved in that? I don't know. But I taped it. I remember seeing pieces of it, but I want to go back and watch the whole thing.
It's actually directed by Gene Wilder.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Nice.
Really?
Well done.
I did not know that.
He also wrote it.
Well, that makes sense. He does everything.
Well. Gene Wilder, rest in peace, and your legacy will be never-ending.
It really won't be. Every single... I mean, these movies...
He's trying to do a segue.
I'm not... No.
He's not allowing
I'm not allowing it.
He's not allowing it.
This is, it's one of his best segues. I'm canceling it.
Thank you. Thank you for acknowledging it.
No, like...
We're going back to the segue,
all right, fine.
Though, because the reviews that we did this week was of the movie Neverending Story.
Which now, very fortunately ended.
Oh. It did end, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's one of the things when I saw the sequel back in the day, is I said, the first one did end. By the time I saw, I was old enough to see the sequel, I feel like I was getting to my smart-assery phase as a child.
Oh, yes, the smart-assery
yeah,
phase.
Yeah, so I was like...
When did that end?
I don't think it has, really. So I was like, I remember thinking like, well, it's called Neverending Story, but the movie ended. What are you talking about? You needed a sequel? That's irony. It's kind of like the frequent joke I make where they said...
Was this when you were 4 years old seeing
it
in the movie theater?
But
Mother, that is irony.
But I still make like the frequent joke where they have the movie The Last Exorcism Part 2. It's like, what? The first one is called The Last Exorcism. You need The Last Exorcism Part 2? What's
like,
going
whoa?
On? What? What's going on? So, gentlemen, do you have any kind of final thoughts
Well, the more I thought about it, and actually Brian and I kind of talked about this after the other podcast.
Were you in a wigwam?
Yeah, we were in a wigwam.
Okay.
It did not hold up. It ruined, like, memories.
Ruined your childhood.
It literally ruined memories.
I recall you yelling out into the rain as the big window opened up and the storm was coming by. You were just yelling out into the night, ruined childhood!
Oh, yeah, exactly. I know.
More like betray you with the awful movie.
Nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Wow, well,
that's a segue.
Not really.
Oh, I know. But it was better than...
It's not a segue. It's the Rock Biter's tricycle.
Brian, you're hitting like everything nail on the head today.
A lot of carpentry.
What's that segueing to?
Are we going to talk about the Passion of the Christ now?
Well,
oh.
Why don't we get some fun facts about the NeverEnding Story? According to IMDb, the first fun fact is the film itself actually ends, quote unquote.
Yes, it does.
Halfway through the book, which I think we brought up during the main episode. So Bastian gets to the end of the book, the end of the story. He has to yell out the Empress's name in order to bring back Fantasia.
Don
only
Quixote.
About halfway through the book. So,
Francine.
What happens in that other half?
I thought it was like Don Quixote.
I believe that, from what I've heard, the second movie follows a lot of the events from the second half of the book.
Oh, really?
But I never saw the second movie.
I did.
We know.
We know.
Yeah.
You saw it at the theater. Were you interviewed?
No. I wasn't. No.
How many memories are you just adding them together?
I just create false memories.
Local
film. It's like
when
Homer was trying to get brainwashed, and he just makes up a movie in his head.
Oh, okay. That sounds good.
Noah Hathaway, who started as Atreyu, almost lost an eye during the fight scene versus the Gamorrek. One of the claws on the giant paws poked him in the face. The robot was also very heavy that he lost his breath as well. And he was hit to the ground by it. They only made one shot to the risk that he would get seriously wounded. No
Why
response.
Are you looking at me?
No response. I feel like you would have some follow-up to this.
Okay, I guess that explains why it was such a shitty fight scene.
Okay.
I mean, hey, you had the stuntman in the other scene, very obviously. Maybe you could have done something.
This seems like a direct follow-up to that fact. Noah Hathaway, a.k.a. Atreyu, now owns and operates a tattoo parlor in Los Angeles, California, with his wife.
Kind of really?
Like people come in, they're like, what do you want?
Falcor.
He's like, I want like an awesome snake, and he just draws an Orin on their arm all the time. But yeah. I didn't ask for that.
I think I read something where he said he will no longer do the Orin.
Really?
Because so many people were coming in asking him to do it.
That's funny.
I want Falcor from like arm to arm, like all
with
over.
You riding on its back.
Yeah.
So it looks
Rick has a luck dragon.
Like it's got your head, but like you've got like a tiny little body underneath your actual head.
Yes.
And that tiny
like
little body is riding on Falcor.
So
yes.
Rick is from the show Wienerville.
Yes.
Okay.
Wait. Mighty Weenie, what's the guy's name? Deep Roy's
Mark
name?
Mark Wiener?
Teeny Weenie.
Teeny Weenie, I forgot.
But Noah Hathaway was also hurt during his horse training. He was thrown off a horse, and the horse then stepped on him. And during the shooting of the rounding sequence...
So why was he sad when the horse died?
Because his leg got caught on the elevator, and he was pulled underwater. He was unconscious by the time he was brought to the surface. So
the horse or him?
No, him. Yeah. Noah Hathaway.
How much did he get paid for
181
this?
Like, of 181 found that interesting,
yeah,
by the way.
That is very interesting.
But how much do you think he got paid for this?
$100
bucks?
Paid in Haagen-Dazs. In und Beck's.
And
one thing that
Gunther cream.
Okay, here's a fun fact. Here's a fun fact. You can quote-unquote ride on Falcor's back on location at the Bavaria Filmplatz Munich, Germany.
Why is that in quotes?
Well, I'm guessing you just sit on there and pump your fist in the air.
It doesn't actually exist.
I'm doing the thing I saw on Family Guy.
Yeah, it doesn't actually exist.
This is interesting.
Yeah.
Oh, this is interesting. The Night Hob, that's the guy that rides the bat, he says a profanity in the opening scene where the Rock Biter appears running down all in his path.
Is that?
Profanity is often dubbed over by the grumble of the Rock Biter's scooter so that it can be shown as a children's film. So they like...
Is that in the Amazon parent review? Is there any...
Oh, yeah, we never... Brian, I don't think we ever checked language originally.
Well,
we
didn't go through the whole parent's guide. In terms of violence and gore, when Bastian runs into some bullies, they chase him down an alley and throw him into a garbage dumpster. Animal death scene...
Filled with hay so he doesn't get hurt.
Animal death scene when Artax drowns in the swamps.
Oh, that's so
sad. Maybe upsetting to children.
I would say it was upsetting to me
as an adult. A parenthetical, though. He comes back to life at the end. Next, a knight in armor is quote-unquote, zapped by the golden sphinxes. His charred face is later shown up close on camera.
That is very Indiana Jones-esque.
I wish that knight's name, his character's name, was Charface. That would be great.
That would have been foreshadowing. profanity. There is also the note. The blood is shown when Atreus slaughters Gmork.
Engelbert Humperdinck. Yeah, whatever the guy's name is that you called.
Engelbook.
Yeah, whatever.
That was his name.
Yeah, that's his actual name. I thought you made that up.
Profanity. None. Alcohol, what? Drugs, smoking. None. Frightening/intense
Wait a second.
Scenes.
The witch gave like a drink and said, "Here, drink this."
You mean Engelbook's, who knows? Engelbook's wife, Urgel.
Yes.
Did she do that?
Yeah, that's what I was. Like,
this has some change.
She's like, "Here, drink this, and you'll wake up refreshed."
Oh.
3 days later.
Cosby's like, "No."
Yeah, so the.
Where did Bill Cosby come into this?
The most. Well, he was with Falcor. The most comprehensive section of the Parents Guide is the frightening, intense scenes section.
Yeah, I could see that.
Okay, where they say, under today's standards, this film is quite mature for kids, but by no means inappropriate. Adult advice is strongly suggested, since the fantastic ambient goes darker and more philosophically dense towards the end of the film. Then Bastion being bullied at the start may be upsetting for kids who are going through that.
Unless they like hay.
There's a description of the Artax scene.
Oh, God.
The night scene.
Skip that.
The Gmork. And then they say, not for under sevens due to fantasy violence.
I think I saw it at seven.
But were you an under seven?
I might have been on the shy end of it.
I don't remember exact timing.
A couple more fun facts. The original Orin for this film now hangs in an enclosed glass display in Steven Spielberg's office.
Oh, that's cool.
That's interesting.
So he's responsible for Fantasia dying. Yeah. Wait, did Falcor give it
Jones
to him?
Series.
Did Falcor give
so
it to
far.
Him from the bottom of the sea?
Maybe. According to the book, the name that Bastion screams almost indecipherably into the night is, quote-unquote, Moonchild. But it's often been debated what Bear Oliver actually says. Again,
we
talked about this controversy.
It was very clearly Moonchild when I watched.
He says Moonchild, yeah.
Like, you can watch his mouth and he goes, Moonchild.
Falcor is actually a 43-foot-long motorized creature with 6,000 plastic scales and pink feather fur. His head is 3 feet tall and long. This is an awful sentence. His head is 3 feet tall and long, comma, and has a long tongue in the mouth. That's the sentence it says. That's the exact sentence.
I enjoyed that sentence.
Right. They're writing the material for us.
Yeah, I know. This is kind of interesting. The makeup team on the movie tried to paint Noah Hathaway, who played Atreyu, green, just as Atreyu is in the book. It wasn't believable. I look like Fun Guy, Hathaway said. So apparently they tried to make him green, almost like Gamora.
Wow. Foreshadowing.
So, none of us read the original book. I had no idea Atreyu was supposed to be green. It just sounds kind of weird.
No, he's a Native American.
But he also hunts, they said he hunts purple buffalo. So they kind of established this as a world where things are oddly colored.
Well, Yondu is supposed to be green.
Oh,
so maybe Yondu's the archer?
Maybe. And, Brian, you had mentioned something in our full episode a little bit. A couple of things about the author, Michael Ende. He decided he was unhappy with the film's version of this story and refused to have his name placed in the opening credits. He has a small credit that appears at the end with his name, but he asked if the movie title would be changed or canceled. After the studio declined, he filed a lawsuit, but ultimately lost.
Yes.
And he also felt that the movie did not closely follow the book, and he urged that the production be shut down or the title be changed. The producers refused both, and again, he did the lawsuit that he ended up losing. So he was really against this.
He hated it.
He didn't like it.
He was ahead of
the
curve.
But you know what? I think so. Yeah, like, I think he saw it like we do now. Not amazing.
Now, one thing that we briefly touched on is that there are sequels. Well, did you know there's also an animated series?
I was aware of that.
I'm not.
Yeah.
So, from as far as I can tell, Atreyu was green in this animated series.
Really?
Go on.
The Nothing is a recurring villain. The Rockbiter has the son and a wife. There's nothing on the Wikipedia section for plot. It's just a blank section.
That's pretty good, because I was going to kind of lead into a section where I was going to ask you, gentlemen, because there were a number of sequels. So the immediate sequel that I saw this at the Showcase downtown, which I thought I had seen the original.
The Showcase.
The Neverending Story 2, The Next Chapter. So this was the follow-up movie.
Oh, so this is the
Is that
rest
the one
the
with
book?
Sequest or Free Willy?
Sequest. So we had Jonathan Brandis as Bastion. His dad
was Darwin Falcor.
Yeah, Darwin the Dolphin.
Darwin could have been Falcor.
Yeah.
John Wesley Shipp, the original Flash and from Dawson's Creek, was his dad. Noah Hathaway is uncredited in archival footage as Atreyu, but I do think there was a different actor. Yeah, Kenny Morrison played Atreyu. Basically, no one came back for this sequel.
Why would you?
I think the only one is the guy with the book, Mr. Coriander, I believe.
Oh, he's a spice?
He's orange.
Because...
very spicy.
Thomas Hill, yeah. He was in the first two movies as Mr.
Thomas
Coriander.
Hill,
right? Although, according to IMDb, it's spelled with a C, Coriander, in the first movie, and then a K in the second.
Oh, they switched him up. So
wow.
Is he the same guy?
So maybe it's like the John Candy paradox.
Yeah.
The basic plot of the second one is young Bastion and his friends in Fantasia continue their fantastic philosophical adventure. This time, Bastion must battle an evil witch who threatens to destroy the imaginary world that reading books helps to create. Two friends, one fictional, the other mortal, join forces to see an empress who is locked in an ivory tower in Fantasia Land. So I remember this
Wait,
movie.
It's Fantasia Land now?
Yeah. And I remember, like, instead of the Nothing, the evil force was called the Empty. I remember that. Like, everything became empty.
I don't remember that at all.
The Rockbiter's child, who was, like, Rocky Jr. or something like that, would eat rocks that were, like, hollow. It was a weird movie. It was very strange, to say the least. And at the end, almost like calling out, like Bastion has to do, his dad has to instead call out. He has to call out to Bastion and save him.
See, that makes sense to me. Like, I don't know if that happens in the book, but it kind of gives you some sense of closure to the whole dad being distant and being like, hey, my son,
he got more into his fantasy life.
Yeah,
I gotcha.
I'm just going to sit here and drink my OJ and eggs.
And the flip side, Bastion himself, played by Jonathan Brandis, had an established fear of heights at the beginning, which he had to overcome throughout the movie.
Oh.
The character or Jonathan Brandis did?
Well, I don't know about him personally. But
why don't you know him?
Well, he's not with us anymore.
Oh, that's right.
He's with Darwin.
How do you know Darwin's dead?
I heard from Roy Scheider.
He's dead.
Remember that episode of Saved by the Bell, the college years, where Jonathan Brandis shows up with Thanksgiving food?
Yes, he just shows up.
I was watching the news. Yeah, figured I'd bring some Thanksgiving food down.
Wasn't he friends with Mike Golick or something?
Everyone was friends with Mike Golick.
So yeah, Paul, did either of you guys see Neverending Story 2?
I don't.
Chapter?
No.
I do not think I ever
saw
did.
I saw it in the theater.
We've established that.
Yes, that's been established multiple times.
You saw it. You gave money to the movie.
You went to
the
Showcase Cinema.
What I remember is that the evil witch captures one of Bastion's friends, and they hold them in this fort. Might have been the Empress. And Atreyu shows up with an army. Now, this army, he brings out all these eggs, and the eggs crack open, and all these little toys come out. And they're just like these... it was almost like the end of the movie Toys with Robin Williams.
Yeah.
All these toys come out that explode.
When did that one get filmed? Maybe it borrowed from it.
All right, so that's the Neverending Story 2.
The
so
Neverending
the
Story 2.
I'm guessing Rick and I didn't see the third one either.
There was a
Neither
what?
Did I.
There's a third one?
It has there's Jack third. Black as a bully.
What?
Named
and
Slip.
Bastion is played by Jason James Richter, the
Free
star
Willy.
From Free Willy.
Did Michael Jackson sing the theme song to this?
Jack Black, you're right. Jack Black played Slip the Nasty.
Mr. Coriander was recast in this one.
Oh.
With Freddie Jones.
The Rockbiter does show up again, played by Gary Martin.
Gord Robertson is Falcor. William Todd Jones is Mrs. Rock Chewer. See, it's weird. On IMDb, they're calling them the Rock Chewers. And on Wikipedia,
blasphemy.
They're calling them Rockbiters.
They're Rockbiters. So, the Neverending Story 3, quick plot summary here.
This one, by the way, from what I've read, it has nothing to do with the book.
No, there's no connection.
Bastion, this was just trying
to
make
get
money.
A sibling becomes true when his father remarries, but soon he has trouble with his new stepsister, Nicole, and with a gang of school bullies, the Nasties. Hiding in the school library, Bastion finds his favorite book, The Neverending Story, where it is later found by Slip, the gang leader. The latter recognizes
the
power of the book and begins to form Fantasia after his bad intentions. When the chaos becomes worse, the childlike Empress requests Bastion to move back to the real world, get the book back, and save Fantasia. Accidentally, some Fantasia characters travel with him to reality.
It's very He-Man-esque.
Meanwhile, Slip and the other Nasties spread anarchy. I think I maybe flipped this movie briefly and saw that those
I don't think this movie
Fantasia
was ever shown again.
Were in like a parking garage, and I was like, okay, I'm out. Like, once the Fantasia characters came back to our world, and they looked like a...
You mean like at the end of the first movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was very brief.
No, that was one of the best parts of the movie.
But this was like a poor man's Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. They were hanging out in the mall. And all the characters in the third one looked like they were from H.R. Puff and stuff.
No, God.
They were like,
just
like
big
Sig
heads.
And Marty Croft creations.
Yeah.
God. Falcor
looks...
Yeah. Falcor is like a... Well, he's a downward...
He looks special.
Needless to say, none of us saw this movie.
No.
Correct.
Okay. Which is probably a good thing, because
I never saw the animated series either.
You know what? This lasted, before it got ruined, I mean, it came out in 84, right? So it's 2016. 32 years this lasted before it ruined my childhood.
We're made by Jim Henson's Creature Shop.
Oh, all right.
Or the third one, just the third one.
So they had money?
The budget was $17 million.
Holy crap.
I think this one, the first one was $27 million.
Okay.
The first one was $27 million? That's like a $200 million movie now.
The second one was 17.4, so that was about the same.
They're just trying to scale down. But, I mean, inflation and everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, but still, that's like a 50. That's a decent movie. I think I could shoot a good movie with that amount of money. Like, they could have done so much better.
It was all in chocolate, though.
I mean, they could have done claymation and done better stuff.
All right. Well, that's the never-ending story. So that royal music kind of signifies that we should play a royal game of the nondescript
online movie review.
Is that our theme song?
It is now. Until next episode, where we do something entirely different.
It's rolling.
All right, gentlemen, so once again, the rules for the nondescript online movie review game.
Rick wins.
So,
no.
What?
Not necessarily.
That's a good review.
So, the way this works is I am going to read the title of a review from a nondescript online review site.
An online looker.
Where people get to submit their reviews. You are going to tell me how many stars, and then I will read you the rest of the review.
Sounds good to me.
Go on.
All right, first review. Not worth the time.
Three, two. One. One.
Two.
Neither one of you are correct. This is a 3-star review.
Oh.
Terrible. We stopped it after first half hour. Slow to start, and my 10-year-old said, can we please watch something else?
So he
was that review
on,
helpful to you?
He based it on his 10-year-old. Rick, you were closer.
No, he doesn't get points.
I don't get points. I don't
Ryan's
get points.
Giving the points out.
All right. The second review for you. Poo Memories.
Oh, no. This sounds right up our alley.
Oh, no.
All right. I got it.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
One.
Rick gets it. It's a 1-star review.
Damn it.
From Christopher Jones. Don't watch this movie if you last saw it as a kid. I remember it fondly, but it was really an 80-minute piece of poo.
Yeah, it's actually 92 minutes.
He missed 12 minutes.
All right.
He just passed out for 12 minutes.
Yeah, maybe.
Title. Information is false.
Oh.
3, 2, 1.
4.
This is a 1-star review.
Damn.
Damn it.
Kenneth Branagh and Tom Hiddleston are not in this 1890s classic.
What?
Information listed is false, so buyer beware if purchasing. Seven people found this helpful.
What the hell?
They're definitely... What? The director and star of Thor? Did they think this movie... They were trying to buy Thor. I've decided.
Okay, so currently Rick is leading 1-0.
Okay.
Okay, this one is going to be one of those toss-ups. The title is Blank Stars. Three, two, one.
Two.
Three.
Mark gets it.
Yes!
And here's the review from Lola. My grandkids...
Lola.
My grandkids...
L-O-L-A, Lola.
My grandkids loved to watch The Neverending Story 2. Not this one.
They're so wrong.
Wait, you don't like the first one. What are you talking about? Maybe they like the second
maybe
one
they
better.
Like the second one better.
Yeah.
Listen, maybe they like Jonathan Brandis.
Yep. Darwin.
They're yearning for Darwin. All right. Next review. Good for kids back in the day. Now you wouldn't. Three, two, one.
Three.
Two. Did you say two, Rick?
I said two.
You said three, Mark?
Yep.
Rick gets a point.
Ah, I love it.
Good for kids back in the day. Now you wouldn't be able to show it to kids. I mean, the gates. He's got to go
boobies.
Through. Go through. Got legit tits on them. No coverings. Just
legit
nice, perky
tits.
Jumba Mumbas, LOL. But yeah,
Jumba
as
Mumbas.
I remember as a kid otherwise.
All right.
All right, go ahead.
2-1.
All right. Okay, this one's settled. Funny, period. Bat.
What?
We got to go.
Three, two. One.
Four.
Five. What did you say, Rick?
Four.
Four is correct.
Damn it!
Yes! Rick wins!
I remember loving this as a kid. My kids. Rock guy? Funny. Bat? Funny. Luck dragon? Terrifying. My toddler fled upstairs yelling, go back! Go back! Didn't make it to my favorite part, which was when the sphinxes almost blew up that boy that looked like a girl. Four stars for nostalgia. But I do need to mention a couple of, sometimes on these online review sites and stores, you'll get reviews that have pictures associated with them.
So, all right, well then, I'm going to give Mark...
that up.
No,
I'm
going
to sing Rick's victory song.
No, you don't have to sing it yet.
I don't?
Because I'm going to give you a chance to come back
on
a picture lightning round.
All right, I'm going to show you this picture, Mark.
Wait, I got to see the picture too.
This is not good podcasting with pictures.
Well, all right.
I want you to describe this picture and then give me what you think the number of stars associated with this picture.
It's just a picture review? Upside down Miss Piggy. I have to only assume it's a 5-star review.
Rick?
My immediate would say 5, and I think I'm going to stick with 5. I mean, as much as I want Mark to win.
Well, I said 5 first, so I get it. The
no,
primary.
You got the first chance. He didn't go 3-2-1.
All right.
5.
You are both correct.
Yay!
Okay.
5-star review. Title is
picture
Yes. And the text is, I love this movie, OMG. Just watched it again for the 2th time. Ugh, so yummy. I cried when the horse died.
Oh. All right. All right, Brian. How many more? Can we get 2 more image questions? Because I'm up by 2, right?
I have 1 more image question for you.
I can't keep
all right,
track
2
of
points.
That. This is like more.
This is 2, 3 points. It's for the win. You can win this.
Okay.
3,
oh,
2, 1.
5.
4. Hey, it looks like Falcor.
It's a 5-star review.
Yes!
It's actually a 10 out of 10 review.
That doesn't exist.
And pardon my language. I am going to use some words I don't usually like to use, but 10 out of 10 from FZAC. My dog looks like Falcor, but retarded and ugly.
Aww.
And it's how does that get 5 stars?
That's awful.
If you had told
why
me that,
you write that about your
it's
dog?
A picture of a very cute dog.
It's
so,
a cute dog.
Like, literally,
if you go onto your most popular online shopping and review emporium, you will see a
emporium.
Picture of a very cute dog. And I think we should tell him
if
that
you,
that's not a helpful review, but no. 25 people did find it helpful.
If you had actually said that title, there's no possible way I'd give it 5 stars.
Yeah.
I gave it 5 stars because of the dog.
We have to move on from this segment, but first thing, we're going to sing your victory song.
Yeah, sing it.
Turn around, Rick, what do you see? Lots of beer, and it's all from me. Drink the suds before you let them go down your throat. If you have a Falcor, You can fly over that moat, never ending story.
Oh, 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 oh. The greatest win ever.
All right. Did you hear that? That's the sound of everyone turning off their podcast app.
No way.
I thought it was the sound of the nothing.
No way. No, this is pure gold. People love this.
Our listeners have been consumed by the nothing.
So, gentlemen, go on. We forgot to bring up, so what we usually do is kind of do a 6 degrees connection of our last movie review to our previous one. So I got a couple good ones. I don't know if you get gentlemen thought of anything.
I did not even think of anything.
How many you got, Rick? Nothing.
nothing. Good thing you asked him.
Brian, you got a few?
I got three.
Oh, why don't you start off first? Because I got a couple.
All right, well, so I'm going to steal one of yours, I think.
Problem, you might.
Because I'm going to start with Noah Hathaway.
Oh, I got a good one.
Playing Harry Potter Jr. in Troll.
Yes.
With Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
Yes, I
have. Who is
in
North with Dan Aykroyd.
Oh, okay. You cut out a step there.
Oh.
So, because I had Noah Hathaway as Harry Potter Jr. in Troll, one of my wife's favorite movies. She often says, like, we have to do that movie next.
Okay.
She's like, you have to do that next. And I go, that would be a really quick connection.
I don't think I've ever seen
After Neverending Story.
I don't think I've ever seen it.
I haven't seen it all the way. It's got Sonny Bono in it.
wasn't Jennifer Aniston in that?
No.
That's Leprechaun.
So, Noah Hathaway, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, again, in Troll. Julia Louis-Dreyfus to Chevy Chase in National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. And Chevy Chase to John Candy in National Lampoon's Vacation, straight up.
Oh,
weren't they in Spies Like Us? Wasn't Chevy Chase and Dan Aykroyd in the same movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go.
All right.
There's Rick's contribution for the dice. You're done.
I can connect Chevy Chase to Dan Aykroyd.
Sticking with my Dan Aykroyd connections.
Yes,
go on.
Dan Aykroyd was in Trading Places, of course, with Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Who most famously, perhaps the greatest cinematic achievement of his career, was in The Haunted Mansion with Deep Roy, who played a hitchhiking ghost.
Oh, God. Yeah. Okay. We could connect anybody to Deep Roy.
I also used Deep Roy to Dan Aykroyd, but I guess I went a little longer because I didn't know he was in The Haunted Mansion.
Yeah.
So Deep Roy, because this is a pretty fun connection, Deep Roy was in the movie Return to Oz with Fairuza Balk.
Oh, God, that's another one that scared me as a child.
He played the Tin Man. Did you know that? He played the Tin Man in Return to Oz.
I don't remember the Tin Man being in Return to Oz.
He's at the end. He shows up. The Scarecrow, the Tin Man, the Cowardly Lion all show up at the end.
That's weird.
Fairuza Balk was in The Waterboy with Adam Sandler, and Adam Sandler was in I Now Pronounce You Chuck and Larry with Dan Aykroyd.
Oh. So I figured another good connection, you got to start with Barrett Oliver as Bastion.
I was thinking about that a lot.
Did you get one for him?
I started with him, and I kind of went in a circular fashion. I went with him to Frankenweenie with Tim Burton, which led me to Deep Roy, and I was just like going in a circle.
Well, Frankenweenie, the original Frankenweenie, Daniel Stern was in that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
So directly brings us to Rookie of the Year and Home Alone with Mr. John Candy.
Done deal.
Wonderful.
I'm surprised that you can't really do a direct connection with Deep Roy. Because, I mean, he's in a lot of stuff.
Right, yeah.
I just can't think of... I mean, he actually plays in the new Star Trek series. He's the little guy.
He's little friend.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Like, so you could connect...
But there's no direct connections.
No.
Because when you think of John Candy or Dan Aykroyd, they're very stuck in the 80s time frame.
Well, Dan Aykroyd's deceptive because he's been in a lot, but it's always like a cameo now.
Yes.
Yeah. That's true.
Well, there you go. There's our connections. I think this is a perfect time to jump into, which I think we're going to have a lot of good info if we jump into.
Oh, where have these actors gone? Oh, where could they be?
Probably not famous anymore.
So, take your pick, gentlemen. If we want to talk with one of the two kid leads, we could either go with Barrett Oliver, Bastion, or Noah Hathaway, Atreyu.
Mm-hmm.
Where do we want to start?
We can start with Barrett Oliver.
Yeah, go through Barrett. Yeah.
I know
he was in that movie, Daryl.
Well, yes. Yeah. Yes, that is true. He's only been in 22 credits.
Okay.
His last credit was 1989, actually.
Oh, okay, wow.
He's still alive, so it's not like he passed away or anything like that. And his last acting credit was Scenes from the Class Struggle in Beverly Hills.
Is that a TV movie?
It doesn't say, so I don't think it is.
So
I think
it's not.
It actually released. But then right before that, he was in Cocoon The Return.
Oh, yes, he was in the Cocoon movies.
Then he was in the movie The Secret Garden, the TV movie.
Oh, okay.
He was in Cocoon, the regular movie.
The original.
He played Daryl in Daryl.
Daryl. That was a great movie.
He was in Frankenweenie.
Frankenweenie, yeah.
Highway to Heaven. He was in an episode. Neverending Story. And before that, pretty much nothing really.
Okay.
Oh, he was in Knight Rider. Two episodes.
He was in the Legend of Sleepy Hollow episode of Shelley Duvall's Tall Tales and Legends.
I'd never...
Was that like Shelley Duvall's Storytime Theater?
It was similar, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why would Shelley Duvall have a Storytime?
You never watched
Casey at the Bat with Elliot Gould.
Yes, no. I remember that.
Really? I don't remember that at all.
I used to watch that all the time.
So basically, he only acted between the years of 1981 and 1989.
I wonder what he's up to. Is there anything in his trivia as to what he's doing nowadays?
That's a great question.
Yeah.
He teaches photography in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's a good gig.
He's also done the wet plate process in Ireland for a Guinness commercial.
I wonder if he, in his class, his students bring pictures of nature up, and he goes, here's my masterpiece, and it's just a picture of Falcor all the time. And he's like, here it is. You'll never live up to this achievement. I found a dragon.
One of the sad pieces of trivia, just based on the way it's worded, is, had a poodle named Rita.
Oh, no.
Oh, God.
Did he take it through the swamp of sadness?
Oh, I don't know, but 8 of 18 found it interesting.
I would subtract.
Let's go to the next one. Now I'm sad.
You want to go to Noah Hathaway?
I think
so.
Let's try you.
I think Brian's got this one.
Well, we know he's in the movie Troll.
He's still very active.
Really?
He's got 6 upcoming projects.
Holy cap.
Holy cap.
One of which is a voice in Troll.
Wait.
So they might be doing a remake.
They're doing a remake of Troll?
I mean, based on this...
Brian, but...
I've never...
Oh, yeah, Troll, The Rise of Harry Potter Jr.
Yes.
Yeah,
Brian,
like, I remember hearing about
you're
this.
You're aware of this, but Rick, did you know that his character...
Who is Harry Potter?
That was his character.
This is the problem. I don't understand.
So there's this movie that came out in the 80s called Troll.
Yes.
And he played the character of Harry Potter Jr. Pre any of the J.K. Rowling stuff.
Right.
This character of Harry Potter.
So
exists.
Where did she... So she got the name of Harry Potter from this.
Maybe.
Shared universe?
Yes, maybe. Sonny Bono. He's Voldemort.
He passed...
So, famously, and I don't know if either of you, I've seen this movie, which is... There's a documentary about the cult following of the sequel, Troll 2, called The Worst Movie of All Time.
Best Worst Movie.
Best Worst Movie.
I don't think I've ever seen this movie.
Troll
2
famously has no connection whatsoever to Troll 1. Has no connection, except that the trolls kind of look the same.
No director, no
nothing. Nothing. Characters different, nothing.
Names of characters?
The first one was like a fantasy movie. The second one was like a touch of horror movie that made none of the scenes connect to each other whatsoever.
Much like Leprechaun.
There you go.
Anyway, Noah Hathaway's most recent credit is The Chair from 2016. It appears to be about Death Row.
Okay.
On Death Row, the only monster is man.
I thought it was going to be on Anakin Skywalker.
Tom Holland's Twisted
the replacement.
Tales. A lot of these credits, I'll be honest, I haven't quite heard of. Okay. He was fairly inactive from the 90s from 94 to 2012, he didn't do anything. 94, his last credit was To Die to Sleep, which appears to also be named Mortal Danger.
So he probably went to school.
Then in 2012, he returned as Fish in Sushi Girl. Star Independence Day's James Duvall.
Oh,
of
the son of Randy
Quaid.
Not the actual son, though.
Mark Hamill's in that movie, too.
Mark Hamill?
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Jeff
the
Fahey,
Joker?
Danny Trejo. Michael Bane.
He's in everything.
Yeah. Danny Trejo.
So, except for Trejo, they just got super 80s actors. Michael Bean, Mark Hamill, Noah Hathaway. These are all just iconic 80s actors.
They're probably taking their 80s paycheck.
This is like the Expendables 80s
edition. Wait a second. When did this come out? So Mark Hamill's already done Force Awakens.
This was must
this
have
was 84.
Prior. Yeah.
No. Oh. No. 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 I'm talking this latest one.
That one was 2012.
Oh yeah. So yeah, Mark Hamill needed
yeah.
money.
Well, yeah. It's before. Yeah.
Yeah.
But
he's fresh off of the Giver.
Looking at some of Noah Hathaway's 1980s credits, you've got an episode of Family Ties.
Ooh.
CBS Story Break. He was in two episodes. He was in the episode for How to Eat Fried Worms and the episode for Klutz, C-L-U-T-Z.
That's a what?
A CBS Story Break.
They did a movie that? Based upon the book How to Eat Fried Worms? I read that in fourth grade.
That would appear to be what happened.
Wow.
You have to watch it.
Before Neverending Story, he was on Laverne and Shirley. He was on Chips. He was on Mork and Mindy. Eight is Enough. Battlestar Galactica.
Wow.
Wow. This guy's around. He's done pretty good.
He got around from town to town.
They should have brought him back to the remake, the reboot of Battlestar Galactica.
Maybe he was an extra.
Maybe. Noah Hathaway.
Uncredited.
Any fun facts about his dad, who was the music editor for the movie? He was the music editor for Neverending Story.
Noah and his father, Robert Hathaway, appeared in Battlestar Galactica and Troll together.
Oh, so his dad acted, too. That's pretty good.
And as you mentioned, he owns and works at Wild Child Tattoo with his wife. That's as of July 2009.
And he won't tattoo any Orin symbols anymore. He says, get him out of here. Falcor's okay.
He was a junior lifeguard as a teenager.
Oh, that's...
Does that pass the
mark
for
your
fun facts?
There's
your
the Hasselhoff connection. After Knight Rider, he obviously got a Baywatch gig. It checks out.
He's 5 foot five and a half.
This is like Grease's
super short.
This is like Grease's coma.
Yeah. So
speaking of fathers,
yes,
let's go to Gerald McCraney.
No, Gerald McCraney still acts today. Let's not go to Gerald McCraney.
Why? What was the last time you saw him? Something.
He is in every single TV show that's on right now.
I'm saying a movie.
House of Cards, Longmire. He's. On
I'm
that
saying a movie.
Show.
Last movie you probably saw him in was Focus with Will Smith.
With Will Smith.
I never
saw
that.
Yep. I'm not going to go Gerald McCraney. Let's go. Let's bring up the guy who played, what's his name? Mr. Coriander. Yeah. So let's bring him up. What's his name?
So his name was Thomas Hill.
Oh.
Passed away in 2009 at the age of 81.
Spoilers.
His final credit was a 1993 episode of Law and Order.
Of course.
He was in An Empty Bed in 1990 as Elmer.
No, but what did he did for his work?
Neverending Story 2 was right after that. Was
Never
right before that.
Story.
Newhart, Coach, Married with Children,
nice.
Brothers, The Facts of Life. He was in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1984.
Like a TV movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
Wizards and Warriors.
That
1983.
Sounds familiar. What is that?
A TV series.
Wizards and Warriors.
I never heard
Does
of
that
it.
Does that make you... No?
No.
It starred Jeff Conway as Prince Eric Greystone.
Kinnicky! It all comes back to
Greece. Brought
it
back to Kinnicky.
Oh, my God. It's amazing.
St. Elsewhere, Postman Always Drinks Twice.
Hmm.
The Nude
Wait,
Bomb.
Wait, you say the Postman Always
Excuse
Drinks
me?
Twice?
Yeah. Rings.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
The Nude Bomb.
It's a long day.
Oh, Nude Bomb. That's a good one.
Nude Bomb. Is that, was Peter Sellers in that?
That was the Maxwell Smart.
That was
Don Adams.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought it was some kind of secret agent
Don Adams.
Type of thing. Yeah.
Well, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, a number of other. He was in Portrait of a Stripper, 1979 TV movie. He was Walt Sterling.
He was Walt Stripper.
He was on Flipper.
Oh, Darwin.
Played Ted Marlowe.
Dolphin Connection.
Before we kind of end this.
Yes. You got one more for us,
I
Rick?
Do. The guy who was actually the narrator was also
you
the
You mean the guy who spoke the last words of the movie who
yes.
we never had heard of before?
Yes.
Well, we had heard of him.
We've had heard
of did?
His voice was throughout the film.
He was Rockbiter,
when?
Falcor, Gamork, and the narrator.
Oh!
His name, and he's still alive, is Alan Oppenheimer.
Yes, I remember
which,
seeing that name, which I was like, wow.
He has
a
almost,
prolific voice actor.
He has almost 300 credits to his name, and the two credits that I'll get into before I let it go to Brian to maybe follow up. He was the voice of Man-at-Arms in He-Man.
Oh, the cartoon.
Not just Man at Arms.
Masters
no,
of the Universe.
He was everything. I mean, this guy did everything.
Was he Battle Cat?
He was Skeletor.
Oh, that's
and
a very iconic
in She-Ra,
voice.
He was Skeletor, Cringer, Man at Arms. I mean, he had everything. He was amazing. He's still
that's
amazing.
Pretty good.
He's actually still doing stuff.
What's his latest project?
Fall of Grayskull. He was the narrator.
He's still doing He-Man.
He was a narrator in a He-Man short in 2015.
But he doesn't.
He was also a voice for Fallout 4, also 2015.
Okay, yeah. So he's doing
Adventure Time.
Now. Yeah,
he was
okay.
on an episode.
That's great.
Kid Icarus,
Foxcatcher. He was a narrator.
Excuse me, Kid Icarus, the 1980s NES.
No, there's a 2012 one. The movie 9.
The DC animated Superman, Batman, Public Enemies.
I saw.
He
that.
Was Alfred.
Who
was
yeah, he?
Yeah, Alfred
that?
Pennyworth.
Okay.
The Secret Life of Bees.
With Dakota Fanning?
Yes.
Why did we get
Yee-haw!
Why did we get Southern?
Okay. The movie takes place in the South.
Oh, does it really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
I'm a bee. I'm going to sting you.
The Bard's Tale. Lionheart. Video game guy. This guy's amazing.
Lionheart?
Voices.
Excuse me. Go back to Lionheart. Is that the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie?
No. It's a video game, 2003 video game.
Okay.
Oh, here you go. He was in 13 episodes of Phantom 2040.
The Phantom!
What?
It all comes back to the Zane.
He was also on the Fantastic Four animated show as Hot Dog Vendor, Fire Lord, Sanitation Worker, and The Watcher.
Let's just link everything
to
Billy
Zane. He played all municipal workers.
Batman the Animated Series, Auctioneer, Time Out of Joint. So that was the Clock King episode.
Oh, I love that episode.
You forgot about Trancers and 4 and 5.
He's in Trancers?
4 and 5.
He plays Far.
And who plays Near?
Deep Rook.
He was on Bonkers. Ooh, he was on Silk Stockings.
Oh, that's
we can keep going. He's got 300 credits to his
The
name.
Little Mermaid. Fish Police. He was on Fish Police.
Fish Police with John Ritter?
No way.
Was he on Capital Critters, too?
He was Principal Ed Pomeroy on Tailspin.
What?
Oh, yeah.
Tailspin.
Oh, yeah. Tailspin.
Where's Waldo? Here you go. He was on 5 episodes of Bond.
James Bond Jr.
Oh! The guy that's very cool.
He got the name from his Uncle James.
But he's still in school.
Colonel Beauregard DeBark on DuckTales.
I think it was Beauregard.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Dr. Polidorius.
What?
Woo! Woo!
He was the wizard on the animated Wizard of Oz.
Oh, is that
makes sense.
A walk on that?
He was on 2 episodes of Who's the Boss?
Oh, nah.
Dragnet, Mama's Family, Slimer, and the Real Ghostbusters.
Oh, man.
He was a Ghoulam.
This guy's done
Excuse
everything.
Me, Ghoulam?
He's awesome.
Rescue Rangers.
He's on all the Disney afternoons.
Yeah. This guy's done everything. He's awesome.
Well, Mr. Belvedere. He was in the pilot.
Did I say Belvedere in the
Oh,
last
no.
One?
He was a pilot. He played a pilot in an episode called Fear of Flying.
Well, I think that kind of wraps up this session, gentlemen.
I think
some
so,
good
too.
Information. Any kind of final thoughts on Neverending Story before we kind of bid
adieu? Don't watch it.
My biggest thought is Alan Oppenheimer has a very incredible career.
He's a good actor,
he's
huh?
amazing.
He's awesome.
Do not watch it.
Not at all? Just the... No, you think it's
Alan Oppenheimer was the
childhood?
President on Chuck Norris Karate Commandos.
I watched that.
Listen, if your last memory of this movie is 30 years ago, do not watch it again. Yeah. That memory is the best memory you will have of this movie.
Yeah. Don't try to refresh it.
Don't try.
Do not. That's my only...
Keep it in your memory bank.
If you don't remember what happens in the movie, it's because nothing does happen.
Right. Because you remember the key points. And that's probably
Yeah, you remember
the
that
best.
The Rockbiter's there, but then you forget that the Rockbiter has no purpose.
That's true. You just remember how cool he looks, and don't worry what his job is.
Chewing hollow Jorb. Rocks.
Yeah, he just bites him.
Yeah,
and spits him out.
Spits him out,
and that's a life lesson. And on that note, thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. I'm Mark, and for Rick and Brian, just remember you can always paint the grass green. Good night. Gentlemen, since you brought it up, I think we need to do a little sing-along. Life is like a hurricane
here in Duckville.
Race cars, lasers, airplanes, it's a duck blur.
You might solve a mystery or rewrite history. DuckTales,
I train you.
Sometimes some crimes go slipping through the tracks,
but these two gumshoes are picking up the slack. There's no case too big.
Did you just say slacks?
I thought it
was
slack.
They're picking up the slacks? did they leave their laundry out?
Yeah. Their pants have been lost.
That makes for a much less exciting show.
Oh-wee-oh, tailspin. Oh-wee-oh, tailspin. All the trouble we get in with another tailspin. Spin it when you win it, when you tail spin it. You can win it when you tail spin it. Tail spin it. Dun-dun-dun.
We're missing a lot by this being an audio podcast because they just missed your fantastic shimmying there.
Tailspin.
Slacks.
Thanks, Cinemaniacs, for listening to this mini episode of the $5 Bin Podcast. And join us next time for our next full movie reviews it. You can find us on the social interwebs. Tweet us at the number $5 Bin POD. Like us on Facebook or email us at thefivedollarbin.podcast@gmail.com. Download episodes on iTunes, and when you do, hey, why not give a rating and a review? Oh, wow, thank you! For information about Brian and my improv organization, Natick Improv, and upcoming workshops and performances, you can visit natickimprov.com or like Natick Improv on Facebook. A big thanks once again to Jenny Weech and Jeff Kimball for the $5 Bin theme song. And until next time, Cinemaniacs, hasta la vista, Atreyu Dron Falcor tattoos.